Good evening, everyone. This is the regular semi-monthly meeting with the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. It is April 23rd, Tuesday at 5:37 p.m. Pacific Time, 8:37 p.m. Eastern Time. My name is Tracy Rosenberg. I'm a listener rep from KPFA and the chair of this committee. And we're going to start off by calling the roll. Our secretary is R. Paul Martin from WBAI. R. Paul, if you would.
Okay. Jim Boyd.
Here.
John Cromcho.
Present.
Marcus Jeter. R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman. Michael Novick.
Present.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Manager Saba. Richard Uzel.
Here.
Barbara Whipperman.
Here.
We have seven. That's quorum.
All right. Sounds good. So let me make two quick notes. Marcus Jeter, the WPFW treasurer, wrote to say that he was traveling and would not be able to attend. And the Pacifica National Board has hired a new permanent chief financial officer, and that individual will be relocating from some other place and will be starting work on the 9th of May, and hopefully will be able to join us on National Finance Committee calls going forward. Okay, so first order of business is we have to approve the agenda. It was sent out on email 18 hours ago at 10:44 p.m. Pacific last night. It's a monster agenda. It's extremely long, but I will read it out for the stream, and I already know there's going to be at least one modification. So the agenda goes as follows. Item 1, roll call. Item 2, approve agenda. Item 3, approve minutes. Item 4 is a very brief chair's report that will touch on depreciation and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting 2014 grants. Item 5 is to complete our first quarter reviews for KPFK, KPFT, and WPFW to the extent that we can. Item 6 is a brief update on the KPFK lockbox saga, I guess is the right word. Item 7 is to address the Pacifica Archives repayment plan request, which is the follow-up on the meeting that we had with Brian DeShazer at the last NFC. Item 8 is a motion submitted by member Uzel from Houston. Item 9 is a check-in on the sort of national crowdsourcing fundraising thing that we were thinking about, Mr. Crumshaw's proposal. Item 10 is to take a look at the recovery plan implementation, and number 11 is the old business regarding pledge handling for syndicated programs. I do not expect that we will get to all of these things tonight. However, this is, I guess, what the order is of things going forward. So that's the draft. Are there any modifications?
R. Paul, well, did somebody just move to, did somebody move to adopt the agenda?
Nobody moved. You're first.
Uzel will move to adopt.
Who was that?
Richard.
Oh, that was Richard. Okay, so Richard's moving to approve it, and R. Paul, did you have something to add, or were you just trying to find out who moved to approve it?
No, I have something.
Let me
get to it right here. Yes, this is something from the WBII Local Station Board meeting from April 10th. It's a motion that I have been directed to bring to the committee. And the motion would be that the NFC ask the interim executive director for a written report as to why the audit is still not done and whether or not the 140-day waiver for the CPB has been applied for and granted. And so that would be a motion, and I don't know precisely where we want to put that, but we...
Okay, so it's a motion to ask a question. Well, I think, you know, we can ask the question without all the formality, but let's stick it in there somewhere. Let's see. What about right after the KPFK lockbox update? Because I expect that to be a fairly brief item, and this also sounds like a fairly brief item.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Call it.
motion from Martin.
it's from the LSB. So.
Okay, motion from WBAI LSB. Is that okay with you, Richard? Technically, your motion came in first, but I think this will be a fairly quick motion, so.
I don't object.
All right. And I don't see it, and I'm confident that we will make it to your motion, so I don't think it does you any harm.
Okay.
All right. Richard, would you like to amend your motion to approve the agenda as amended?
Sure. Yes.
Okay. Are there any objections to that motion? Okay. We have an agenda. Our next item is to approve the minutes. We have, I think, open session minutes pending from April 2nd, and I believe that's all. Those minutes were sent out earlier today. Is there a motion to approve those minutes or to modify them?
Actually, I sent those yesterday, didn't I?
You may have, yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes, you did, because they came before I put together the draft agenda, because I went over them. Yes, you sent them last night.
All right. I'll move to approve the April 2nd minutes.
Okay. Are there any objections, or would anyone like to vote no or abstain for the record?
I would like to abstain.
I would abstain. I was going in and out because of a phone computer problem, so I heard probably 10% of the meeting.
Okay, then it sounds like, our Paul, you need to call the roll on the motion to approve the minutes of April 2nd.
Okay, one second. And
Paul, I'm having trouble hearing you.
Okay, hold on one second. I'm putting this in here so that we have it. Okay, the motion is to approve the April 2nd minutes. Jim Boyd.
Abstain.
Jim Crumshaw.
John Crumshaw, yes.
I'm sorry. Sorry. Marcus Cheddar, R. Paul Martin, yes. Tony Norman. Michael Novick.
Yes.
Tracy Rosenberg.
Yes.
Manager Saba, Richard Ezell,
yes.
Barbara Whipperman,
abstain.
Okay, the vote is 5-4-0 against, 2 abstentions.
Okay, and I guess I'm correct that there are no outstanding minutes from previous meetings, are Paul?
Not on open session, no.
Correct. Okay. Well, we can't deal with closed and open, so that's a moot issue. Okay, so we're going to move on with the agenda. The next item is a very brief chair's report that's basically informational both for the committee and for the stream. Right now, I'm going to do this verbally. I can send some written backup after the meeting if necessary. There's two items. The first is to let you know that as chair of the committee, I was called into the national office to approve a couple of very slight modifications that they wish to make regarding the depreciation schedules that will be used in the 2012 audit. And this was at the request of the auditor. And for some reason, they felt that they couldn't wait until the next meeting because they were doing various things with the depreciation schedules. So they asked if I would be willing to review what they were doing and basically sign off on it. So I want to make it clear that I did, and I'm going to give an accounting to both the committee and the stream for what those changes were. The changes that were proposed were shortening the depreciation schedules, which is the amount of fiscal years for which a percentage of the value of a piece of property is amortized. In general, when you shorten depreciation schedules, you end up putting more money back into your operating budgets rather than taking money out. The idea was that basically we were continuing to depreciate things past their useful life, and this was based on some inventorying that was done at the stations at the request of the national office, and they found they had things listed on the depreciation schedule that had long since been disposed of, and that this was not sensible, and that therefore the depreciation schedules in a couple of categories really needed to be shortened to more cohere with the useful life of equipment. So these are the categories, and these are the changes. In what we call cost code 1300, which is furniture and fixtures, chairs and desks, we had been using a depreciation schedule of, I'm sorry, let me give you both accounts. The cost code is 1300 and the amortization code is 1690. The account is called furniture and fixtures. We had been using a depreciation schedule of 10 years as the life of a chair or a desk, and they requested to reduce that to 5 years going forward. In cost code 1350, depreciation account 1710, it's called computer systems, which basically refers to computers. The old depreciation schedule we had been using was 5 years, and they requested to change that to 3 years. In code 1510, which is our expense code 1750, building improvements, we had been using 30 years, they requested to drop that to 25. And we also have an account 1520, which is called account 1760, building improvements, studio office, which is, I guess, a subcategory. And the same thing, the depreciation schedule had been 30 years, and they asked to move it down to 25. And there's one last item, which is leasehold improvements, which is our account 1500-1740. We had been using 10 years, and they asked to change that so that it was consistent with the duration of the lease on the property. In other words, if we only had a 3-year lease, we shouldn't put in a 10-year depreciation schedule. And that mostly applied to rental properties. We apparently were depreciating some leasehold improvements made to properties we were no longer in. So, those are the changes. I don't think they should be controversial. I was a little apprehensive when called into the office to do this, but when they showed me what the scale of the changes were, they seemed very, very practical to me and like nothing that anybody should object to. So I'm informing you. If there is any further conversation, we can do that. Otherwise, I'll just go on to the next item. Okay. I will take that as on to the next item. The next item is our CPB 2014 co-allotments, which is basically our CSG grant, which is our general operating grants from the CPB. The CPB has completed the long-winded audit, which took place for the fiscal years 2009 and 2010. Just to be clear, that's the period that began October 1, 2008, and ended on September 30th, 2010. Those two consecutive fiscal years, it's a 24-month period, and for whatever set of reasons, that's the period that they chose to audit, and they found a couple of areas where we could improve. The only one that has a particular financial impact regards the value of premiums, which, as people know, because we've been talking about it for a long period of time, they had problems with the way that we were declaring the fair market value of our premiums, and that has been adjusted. We were hoping that we would be able to pay back the amount of money that we were overcompensated over 3 years. It looks like it's not going to happen that way. We're going to have to pay it all back in 2014. And the way that we're going to pay it back is it's basically going to be deducted from our 2014 grant. So what I wanted to do here was let each of you know and also let folks know on the stream what the CPB deductions are going to be for 2014 so that each and every one of you could make sure that that is reflected accurately in your upcoming budget process. And since we're going into budgets fairly fast, it seemed like numbers that folks had to have.
Tony Norman on the line.
Hey, Tony.
Good.
Welcome. I'm just giving a brief chair report. We discussed some depreciation schedule changes, and now we're discussing the CPB audit. And, okay, so let me go ahead and pull out the CPB data. Just give me a second here. Not the right account. Hold on. Just to be clear, the CPB audit letter has been placed on the CPB site. So at this point, this is basically a publicly posted document. The PNB members have received the link, and I guess that all of you will need to receive it as well, but you can probably find it if you go to the CPB site. Okay. So the audit report states the following. Okay, it's in a table somewhere, this long report. Ah, where is it?
I have it here, Tracy.
Mm-hmm. You have what there?
I have the letter and the chart. Our business manager gave me a copy of this, and I actually gave a small report about it at our LSB meeting. But I have the figures you're looking for if you want.
No, it's okay. I will have them in a second. Okay, so it's 133,240. Where are the deduction numbers?
Somebody said they had them. Could we just have them read?
There we go. Okay. Okay, so starting from the bottom, KPFT in Texas, it will be a total of $6,749 for WPSW in D.C. It'll be $19,595 for KPFA in Berkeley, $24,249 for KPFK in Los Angeles, $40,903. And for WBAI, $41,744.
That's very interesting. They're slightly different than what I have in this letter that was the letter from the CPB.
I'm looking at the CPB audit report, calculation of CSG overpayments by station and fiscal year.
Mm-hmm. I see two charts in here, and they are consistent with each other, but a little bit different than what you just read.
Okay, well, this is Exhibit F. In the report, in the audit report, page 23. Okay, so I will go ahead and send all of you a copy of that document. What I think is important here is that those numbers be incorporated into the upcoming budgets that we receive. They are going to make a serious dent in the budgets, especially of the three largest stations, which, you know, it's a substantial chunk of the CSG grant. It will be a one-time-only hit, which in some ways it is better than a three-year-long sustained and gradual hit, but you should expect to have to make some adjustments to accommodate.
Tracy, point of information?
Yeah.
For years 209 and 210?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Those are the years that were audited. And again, the fiscal period, because of the way that our fiscal periods work, is October 1, 2008 through September 30, 2010. That's the 24-month period. And I don't think that is necessarily linked to anything other than those are the fiscal years that they chose to audit. Yeah, go ahead.
I think I heard Barbara say that she got that from the business manager. Do all the business managers have this information?
Well, the document is publicly printed now on the CPB site. So it's a fairly public document, and you can access it, but I don't know how the KPFA business manager obtained it.
I believe he was given it by the ED's office.
I was just thinking that if that's the case, it would be good because we can say, well, verify him.
Richard, it's a little hard to hear you. Can you speak up a little? I can't hear you.
I said if it's the case that all the business managers passed the report, then we can just say, well, it's in the report. It's not something we're making.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Are there any other questions and comments? Basically, the reason that we're doing this is again, to make sure that these adjustments are accounted for in the budgets that the LSB treasurers will be presenting so that we don't have to go back later and say, oops.
Okay. Yeah, I had a couple of questions. This is, you're saying whatever CPB funding we would get for the years being reduced by that amount?
Yes.
The unrestricted funds? And
yes.
The second question is, are they anticipating additional deductions?
No, they are not. The audit has been completed. This is the extent of it. These are the penalties that we will pay. They are allowing us to refile for 2011 without penalty. And obviously for 2012, we will do as instructed. So this should be it. It's a one-time hit.
Is there anything going forward about how we price the premiums?
Yep, it's do it this way, not that way.
Okay.
And we understand now, and we will do it the right way.
Okay. All right.
Tracy, this is Jim. I have a question.
Yeah.
For the 2013 budget, we were given a figure that we were going to pay off over 3 years. Is this the same figure as that figure?
Yes.
It's the same figure. Thank you, Barbara. Yes, it's the same figure, and the amount that you took out of your 2013 budget, in fact, was not taken out of your CSG grant this year. So right. That part transfers over to 2014, and you take it out in one fell swoop.
So it's really not as bad, so we take it all out of the middle instead of spreading it over three.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Tracy, can I say one thing? I remember when we talked about this before, I forget which station it was, but someone took the deduction from the whole grant and not just the larger section, the part that goes to, is that the part that goes to Free Speech Radio News? That's not changed.
The smaller part is what goes to Free Speech Radio
yeah.
News, and that's unaffected, yes.
Right, and so I don't know if that ever got straightened out. Somebody was deducting their third, you know, from the whole thing. So we should just budget it for the larger portion of our CPB grant is what's going to be reduced.
That's correct. I don't remember the exact specifics of who
it
may or may not
have
been doing
that, but I remember
but
it happened, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's correct. It's the larger portion of the two CPB numbers, and it's called
mm-hmm.
the CSG grant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the smaller one is NPPAG, which is National Programming Grant.
And could I ask you either to repeat the numbers you said for each of the stations, or if they're going to be in the minutes, that's fine.
I think probably we'll put it in the minutes. I can give you the approximate ones. I stepped away from my computer.
It's no, about, don't do that again. That's fine.
Okay.
Paul?
Yeah.
I wrote them down as you said them, so... and if you send it out, I'll double-check the numbers. And you know. So, yeah, it'll be in a minute.
Okay, that sounds good.
Michael, yeah. Wait a sec. So just to clarify then, you said that the 2013 deduction was not taken out. So therefore, for the current fiscal year, we would be getting a little bit more than we anticipated.
That's correct, yes. Yes, okay. Yes. Not a massive amount, but likely your CPB, your CSG portion, came in a little bit higher than is in your budget.
Okay.
Likely. Those numbers are sometimes a little projected, so it's probably not precise, but more than likely.
But roughly speaking, by about a third of that figure that you gave for the station.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For K, it was about 40,000. So you're probably looking at about 12,500 or 13,000.
Yeah.
Give or take, you know. Okay, good. So that takes care of that. So we were going to try to do some reviews. My recollection was that we had not done KPFK, and we had not done KPFT, and we had not done WPFW. The WPFW treasurer isn't here, so Tony, if there's something that you'd like to say about PFW, you could do it, but I wouldn't expect it to be complete, since generally that's the province of the treasurer. Do you feel like you'd like to give some kind of a report tonight, or would you rather not?
I can give something generally. You're doing that now?
It would be coming up, yeah. You don't have to go first, but yeah.
Yeah, I can do something generally last, if I can be last.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, so Jim, since you're the experienced treasurer of the bunch, how about we ask first?
Okay, I'm going to do this. I don't have the consolidated in front of me, but let me generally go over what we did first quarter. Just the way money came in, it really kind of messed up the budget because we had a late summer drive. It caused a lot of money to come in late.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had a solid campaign, and so it shows up that we're quite a bit above the budgeted amount for listener support, all the way through the different categories of web income and listener support. And what that also does is, because we had so much support coming in, we spent a lot more money than was budgeted under development for premiums.
Okay.
And so the first quarter is just a mess, you know, as far as it'll even up as we go into the second, into the third quarter. In going over this, there is one mistake that is being done by the national office that it's probably a result of the turnover of people. Our business manager is the business manager for two stations, KPFT and WBAI.
Mm-hmm.
And her salary is supposed to be split between the two stations. And in the national office, they are putting all of her salary on KPFT.
Mm.
It should be split between KPFT and WBAI. And until things get settled down in the national office, and we get, I don't know when that's going to be, I'm sure in a number of weeks, until there's some stability in the people there from the financial end, there's probably not much we can do or even know who to talk to. But I don't know what to do on that. Is that something that should come from station management? Is that something from the NFC?
I think that's something that can come from the NFC, but for practical reasons, I think it's we might want to wait on the arrival of the new CFO to sort of point this out, because my feeling is that at this point in time, it's probably going to be seen as somewhat small potatoes.
Yeah.
And if you could just, you know, make a note that this adjustment has to be made, I would assume that the salary can be pulled over.
Okay.
As a general journal adjustment.
Yeah, because everything's coming from national office anyhow, so it'd just be journal entries.
Okay, well, good. That actually explains quite a bit about the first quarter results for Houston, because I was a bit surprised by them, and I appreciate
it. It's just a mess. It should even out a little bit by the second quarter, and for sure by the third quarter. The only other change there, we normally have a golf tournament in the fall, and we're switching that to June. So there was some difference about special events being low, but there are also not many expenses for special events. That's about it.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I said some things about Houston's results in that financial summary document, but what you said makes a lot more sense. So thanks. Okay. Richard, do you have anything to add?
No.
Okay. Are there any questions from the rest of the committee about KPST?
Thank you, Jim.
No. Okay. So we're happy and we're satisfied and we understand. Okay, so we're going to move on to KPFK. Michael, if you could give us sort of an overview of what you think the first quarter results indicate.
Well, the big concern, I think, that was noted in the consolidated report was also about the cost of the development costs, the premium cost that we were spending to raise the money we did. And the bulk of that was a particular premium that was extremely costly both to get. I mean, I guess it was mispriced in a sense as to what we offered it for, given how much it cost us, way out of range for the normal.
Oh, well.
And then also it was quite costly to ship, so the shipping costs also kind of broke the bank. So they're aware of that. They're not going to do that again, basically, is the word we're getting. Management is working to do much more of the premiums as downloadable items, many of which we're getting at very low cost or free. And so that ratio improved pretty dramatically in subsequent fund drives. Our concern is still the number of days of on-air fundraising it's taking to make the nut, so to speak. I mean, we are more or less in balance, with some figures that I think were confusing to us at the finance committee that we've been trying to clear up with the business manager. But overall, the concern is just that we're spending probably 92 days a year on on-air fundraising, and it might be going up still further. The national budget that was adopted had two severance offers in it, severance packages. Nobody, there hasn't been any change in the payroll except that the payroll has increased because of settlements or negotiations with the union. So the management is convinced that we'll be able to end the year in the black, but it's going to take, larger than normal effort in the last 6 months probably to do that.
Okay. John, do you have anything to add? John, are you there?
Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can. Hello?
Now we can. Yeah, okay. We can. Now.
Yes. Now, let's see. The internet stopped working here, but let's see. Kim, who is the chair of the finance committee, sent me something. She was saying that there is a deficit. I think Michael would be in a better position to address those issues because we did go over the spreadsheets, but she showed that the business manager reports two sets of numbers. The business manager reports 24,269 for as of March 31st, 2013, and the chair reports 41,870 plus another, probably another 20 of related personnel expenses yet to be added, or about $60,000 to $65,000 net deficit.
Mm-hmm.
Then she says that the business manager reports $152,421 as the budget amount. That's Kim, $179,195 plus the additional $20,000 above, or about $200,000 below budget. So, according to the information that Kim presented here and that she went over at the meeting, she maintains that the station is below budget, $200,000 below budget. So, that's...
Right. Okay. I have some comments. Does anybody else on the committee want to get on the stack?
Our call for a fast request.
Okay. Go ahead.
Just, John, could you email out those exact things? Because you went in and out there, and I couldn't catch it all, and this should go into the minutes. So if you could just put that in an email and send it, that'll be great. Thanks.
Paul, I will send that to Tracy, and then Tracy, would you forward it?
Sure.
Sorry.
I have a couple of other things actually to add. One of the big issues was about we had to basically replace our transmitters or get a second one, which finally did put us up to the FCC licensed power level. One of the issues that came up was that apparently $10,000 of the cost of that transmitter was paid directly by an anonymous donor to the provider of the equipment. There was some controversy about how that had to be reflected in the budget. I think the conclusion we came to with the Finance Committee was it should be considered an in-kind donation of that portion of the value of the transmitter, since we were invoiced and billed for the whole cost of the transmitter, but they accepted a check from somebody else that never went through our books.
Mm.
I think there's still some funding money going on about that, but you can't credit the value of the transmitter for less than actually is valued at. So there's got to be some other way to accommodate it. The idea of considering an in-kind donation for that portion of the value is what was suggested.
Okay. And anything else, Michael?
I guess that's it.
Okay. Okay, so to call on myself, KPSK did show a deficit for the first quarter, which is what we're talking about. I understand that we're now creeping up on the second quarter, and some stations have those numbers and some stations don't. So you guys in LA are a little bit further along in terms of your process. But I would agree that I think it's reasonable that you probably are maintaining a fairly small deficit into the second quarter. So if that's what the local finance committee is saying, I think that makes sense. In terms of the premiums, that needs to be corrected, and it sounds like everybody at least is on top of it and in consensus about what happened, what went wrong, and we're not going to do that again, which is good. In terms of the in-kind donation, I mean, in general, having donors directly pay vendors without it coming through the books causes a whole bunch of confusion. Part of it is the issue of tax deductibility for the donor because they haven't donated to a 501c3 and they don't get any. And the second issue is sort of, you know, how you record the cost of the asset. We're going to depreciate it. We didn't actually spend the amount of money that we spent. So there's ways that what happened was not ideal, and it really would have been better for said anonymous donor to write a check for KPFK and then KPFK to pay for the transmitter. So if there's a way, Michael, to sort of lodge an official don't do that again for that as well, I think that would be helpful, because it's not an in-kind donation. It's a donation of cash.
Right.
I mean, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And when we describe cash as in-kind donations, I think we're bending things a bit.
So since the cash never came in to us, but the transmitter did, valued at $92,000 rather than $82,000, you know, it didn't actually cost, I mean, we spent $82,000, but it's actually valued at $92,000, so you have to accommodate. I understand what you're saying. You're saying that calling it in-kind donation seems like the best thing we can do after the fact about it.
Exactly. What I'm saying is that yeah, there's a discrepancy in the books for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there shouldn't be a discrepancy in the books.
Right.
And cash is cash, mm-hmm. and so that $10,000 should mm-hmm. have a trail after it.
Mm-hmm. I think the Business Manager is making some kind of ledger note or something. And that's,
yeah, the more explanation we can have in the books about weird things, the better.
Yeah.
Because then at least if you go back and look at it, you can understand what happened instead of getting utterly confused.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, anything else on KPFK? All right, that brings us to PFW. This is going to be sort of a halfway report because the treasurer is not present, but we will hear whatever Tony has to say.
Yeah, like I said, I can speak generally. As you know, we just recently had basically two pledge drives. We had one in December, and we had one about a month or two. Both of those were reasonably successful. Surprisingly, we're not doing that bad financially, actually. We have enough. As you know, we're looking for a place to move. We already have a lease agreement. If that goes through, we do have enough money for the move. We have the Leonard Grant, which has been budgeted for. Part of that is we've set aside for the move, so we do have funds for that. And we're good, and we have a pledge drive coming up this May. I think it starts the first or the second week in May. And we do have a little bit of an extension in the building we're in. We can stay at least, I understand now, till May the 25th. So that can give us, we can stay where we are and do the May pledge drive, which will be very helpful. But generally speaking, actually, as much as you may hear, financially, in the short, we're doing okay. You know, we can pay the bills, we can pay the payroll, and we can pay for the move. And if we have to, we can also pay for a temporary spot if we have to. So that's generally what I can offer in terms of the, we have a finance committee meeting next week, and we're working through getting together, preparing for these upcoming budget cycles.
Yeah. Okay, good. And, and whatever you can do to help push through the provision of a budget from PFW for 2014, you know, in a timely fashion, that would be great.
Yeah, we're starting to get together a draft budget over the next week or two, so if we can get that.
Cool.
We'll try to wrap that up.
Cool.
Michael Lovick is a stack annexer.
Yeah. Anybody else want to be on the stack? Okay, Michael.
Yeah, I think that's great that you know, PFW is going to be able to cover that. I guess I wanted to ask, in terms of going forward, you mentioned that there was a CFO now, and so I know you had sent a letter to the IED asking for, you know, lots of documents that we felt that we needed to be able to do our budgeting. I'm wondering if any of that has been forthcoming, or you think it will shortly be coming from the CFO?
Sure. Well, I've always been a little dicey about whether it was okay to mention the gentleman's name on the stream, but I believe at this point he's been formally hired, so there's no problem, so I will go ahead and do that and hope that I'm right. The new CEO is named Raul Salvador. He brings a pretty significant background in public radio accounting, which I think will be helpful for us, you know, familiar with the CPB and familiar with the broadcast industry. He has worked primarily in public radio and in commercial radio, and he expressed very strongly that the Pacifica mission was important to him and that he was, you know, delighted to have the opportunity to work for a pleasantly subversive organization. So we're pleased to have him. He had strong support from the board. And as I said, he is relocating, I believe, from the Southern California area. And his start date will be May 9th. So that's that. The demand that we made for documents has been received and confirmed by the national office. They understand. In terms of the provision of documents, they have continued to tell me that the upcoming audit needs to be the priority. And I have expressed in no uncertain terms that while that's the case, our demands are still what they are. And I don't know whether the original request was that we have all of these things by the end of April. The end of April is about a week away, so I will reiterate the demand. It is possible that with the CFO not starting until May 9th, that we may have to push that into mid-May. And I'm really sorry about that. But that's where things stand.
I appreciate the update.
Yeah.
Tracy, I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say whether this gentleman is a CPA?
Mr. Salvador, no, he's not. Okay, so we will, at least that's my recollection from his resume. Let me say I don't recall that he is a CPA. He does have an MBA and, as I said, you know, okay, years and years and years in mm-hmm. managing radio station accounting. I believe that his resume is probably available to the members of the Finance Committee. I'll check on that. If so, I'll send it out. Okay, so moving the agenda forward, the next item is an update on the lockbox installation at KPFK, and I believe John Crumshaw has an update. Maybe Michael Novick as well.
Yes. Tracy, would you like me to begin?
I would.
All right. I have sent a report indicating that we had met with the Finance Committee at KPFK last week, and the issue of the lockbox came up, and it was training had taken place and so on. And as I wrote in my report, I understood the general manager, Bernard Duncan, to say that it would be fully operational by the May fund drive, which starts on May 14th. Now, he responded by saying he didn't recall ever saying those words, and that was the impression that I had, but I asked him for clarification so that I could report it, and he added this email, which I forwarded to you, Tracy, which I'd like to just read. I have nothing more to add than I did last time we had a discussion about this. Initial training has taken place. I am told further training is required. I understand user IDs are being set up per this communication from Terry Guy to Tamika Miller in Pacifica National Office yesterday. Quote, we recently received our orientation on using our Bank of America lockbox. In order to fully implement its use, however, everyone in the membership department needs to have a user ID and password set up. We will all need to have access to the box at one time or another. The response to this was, quote, I will have set up your whole membership department, up by Wednesday at the latest. Let me know if you need anything else. The plan is to have it operational in the next drive. The latest on that revolves around mail issues, which are presenting problems per this communication from Terry today. Quote, I'm running into some difficulty working with the Postal Service on this. so I'm not sure we'll be able to set for a full conversion by the time the drive starts. Regardless of that, Bernard continues, regardless of that, we will still aim for the May drive, whether that means full conversion or some overlap and the beginning of the drive seems remains to be seen. Whether or not we succeed also remains to be seen, but that is the plan. And then the rest of it is just personal reflections on his appreciation of my follow-through and so on. So that is basically the report. I guess it's close, but not yet ready to be implemented or about to be implemented. I guess there's just some postal issue that has come up. So that's the extent of the information I have about that, Tracy. Thank you. Is there anything else?
Michael, this is Zach.
Tracy, are you there?
Why don't you go ahead, Michael?
It occurred to me that maybe we should explain to people that the lockbox is basically a mechanism where incoming checks are not handled by individual staff members at the station, but are, you know, basically go directly into the accounts and into the bank for processing, so that there's no problem with anybody walking away with checks or cash or whatever. The other thing I wanted to mention, because I was reminded when you talked about Terry from the membership department, I did ask him about the possibility of getting, going forward, statements out of Memphis that would show us the sort of actual receivables, in other words, people who make pledges that are being paid on an installment plan, either by EFT or by debit or credit card. And he looked into it. The only thing he could get out of the Memphis right now would be for any one of those, he could have 1 month reported. So I'm wondering if anybody knows whether anybody at other stations have succeeded in sort of patching Memphis to produce something more meaningful. Because one of the discussions we had about our budgeting at the local finance committee was that we can't really suss out what's unpaid pledges that people, you know, make a promise to pay and then don't pay at all, and what's just the fact that people make a pledge of, let's say, you know, $180 or $360 and it's just being paid $30 a month or $50 a month being taken automatically out of their bank account or charged to their credit card. That's a lot more a reliable source of income than somebody says, oh yeah, I'm going to pledge and then never redeems the pledge. So I'm just curious if the treasurers or anybody knows from their stations if the business managers or the membership directors have been able to